That was really a blessing. I appreciated that. That was something. Let me give you just a couple little things here. Some things that are coming up. Brother Brad really has a burden for some men's activities. And I said, yeah, take it and run with it, brother. So we have a men's prayer breakfast coming up on August the 5th. And then we have a men's camping outing. And that's August the 25th and 26th. So those are a couple things. You'll hear more about it. And I just want to make a mention of that. Thank you, Brother Brad, for doing that. I think some other guys are going to help him on some of those things, so appreciate that. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 1. We, on Wednesday nights, for the last few weeks, and throughout the summer, with our soul winning campaign that we're doing once again, it's hard to believe that it's been so. We've done this now for probably 7 or 8 years, and it's hard to believe that we've done that, but it's really a blessing to see you all and how you come out and you knock on doors, you tell people about Christ, and it's truly a blessing as your pastor to see you do that. And I've said many times that, you know, often we never see, not always, but often we never see some folks necessarily that we've knocked on their door, but over the years we've seen God bring other people by. God bring other people of the church and different visitors and seeing folks get saved and lives changed and baptismal services. That's really a blessing. Amen? It's a blessing to be part of a church where God still saves people, where they follow the Lord in baptism. And we have a baptismal service coming up soon. A little Leah's getting baptized, and she is so excited. I'm just telling you, she's so excited about getting baptized, and we're excited too. We love her to pieces. And so what we're doing for these few months in the summer months is really just trying to pick out some tremendous stories in the Word of God that really go hand in hand with our soul winning campaign. If there's one thing about the Bible has much to say about winning people to Christ. It says it in the Old Testament. It says it in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it says, he that winneth souls is wise. The New Testament, you come and you study the life of your Lord, and you'll see that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So God loves people more than anything, and I'm thankful to be part of a congregation of people that loves people too. And you care about people, and you love people. You genuinely do care about them. And whether it be taking the gospel to Detroit and feeding the veterans there, to taking the gospel to your schools, to taking the gospel to your work, to your colleges. I mean, that's what it's all about. And last Wednesday night, we gave you three words. And tonight we're going to give you three words as well. But last Wednesday night, we gave you three words when it comes to how should we do it. You know, well, we gave you three things. We talked about how when it comes to the gospel, we should share the gospel with anyone. Don't be scared to share the gospel with anybody. Share it with everyone. Because, ladies and gentlemen, everyone needs Jesus. Amen? Everyone needs Christ. And you have to understand that. I remember when I was a young Christian, I'd only been saved, I'm guessing, 1.5, 2 years. And we went, growing up in Northern Kentucky there, we were not too far from downtown Cincinnati. In downtown Cincinnati, they had Fountain Square. It was kind of a hustle and bustle kind of a place, and there was a lot of activity, and there was a lot of people that would come throughout that region of downtown Cincinnati. And we decided we were going to go over there one day, I think it was on Saturday, and we're going to pass out tracts. I never will forget it. Linda and Michael, I think Michael Poe was his first name, they had a little boy, and I forget his first name. But anyway, I'm guessing he was probably about 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, and as we were passing out tracts, there was a gentleman, he was a Catholic priest, and as he was walking, that little boy walked up to that Catholic priest and handed him a gospel tract. And I've never forgotten that. You said, Pastor, why are you telling us that? Because I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if you're a preacher or you're a priest, you still need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we're not going to heaven because we're preachers. We go to heaven only if a person has repented of their sin and believed the gospel to the saving of their soul. And that's why it's so important. That's why it's so valuable. And it's so absolutely essential that we share that gospel and we tell everybody about Jesus. And we tell everybody that we can. That we talked last week of the urgency. We share the gospel with anyone. We share it anywhere. And we share it anytime. And if you have Pastor Fain on Facebook, He's in Ponape right now. He's in Guam and Ponape, and he won a man to Christ. I think it was last night, our time. I think there's 6 or 7 hours difference. But he won a man to Christ, and he took a picture of it. And I believe that man, he had, I'm assuming they're his children. It looked like he had a couple of small children. And, you know, when we think about the gospel, think about this for a minute. When you think about the gospel and how that man now has professed faith in Christ, the gospel, because it has now come apart, it come into his life, it has the power to change his children's lives. It has the power to change their life. And when we still do believe in the power of the gospel. So when you come to John chapter 1, it's a tremendous passage of scripture, because what you find is really just kind of fleshes it out for us of some people that got excited when they met Jesus. And they got so excited about it, they had to tell their friends about it. They had to tell their loved ones about it. When you come to John chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence as we'll start our reading in verse 35. John chapter 1, we'll start our reading in verse 35. While you're turning there, just mention continued prayers for Bonnie Weir as she continues to recover from her knee surgery. Had a little bit of a setback, nothing major, but a little bit of a setback there. And so you pray for her and Brother Bill and as she continues to recover. All right? So John chapter 1, let's start our reading in verse 35. The Bible says, again, the next day after John stood, of course, it's John the Baptist and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip, notice this now. So you have one finding another one, another one finding another one, another one finding another one. And then you have Philip, who the Bible says in verse 45, findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" So Nathanael shows up and Jesus makes a statement automatically. Nathanael's like, "Wait a minute, how do you know me?" Look at this. "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Father, we love you. We ask your blessings on the reading of your word. We pray your Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct this service. We thank you, Lord, for the boys singing tonight, Brother Ryan. And Lord, truly bless their heart, and we thank you for them using their talents. And we thank you for Ryan and Gina and their family and what they mean to us and what they mean to our church family. And thank you that they're raising their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we just pray, God, be with us tonight. Be with Miss Bonnie as she continues to recover. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll have your will in our lives, which in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. May be seated. Now, when you look at this portion of Scripture, there are three words I'm going to share with you tonight that I think will be an encouragement to you. Because as we said last week, when it comes to the gospel, we should have the understanding and have the the passion, and really we'll tie it in with this service tonight, of sharing the gospel with anyone. When you think of anyone, I want you to narrow it even more. Is there someone that you've been praying for? Is there somebody that you've been concerned about? Is there a loved one that you've been praying for many years that maybe you say, well, Pastor, I've been praying for him for years, but I don't know that I could ever tell him about Jesus. Why not? Why not? You say, well, preach, I'll offend them. Well, you have to understand this, ladies and gentlemen. There's a hell beneath our feet, and people die and go there every single day. Did you hear me? And I say that not to scare you. I say that just to really bring a sense of urgency to us being a witness and sharing the gospel. We better share it with anyone. We better share it anywhere. The gospel can be shared. And if there's one thing as your pastor, I've tried to encourage you and just try to live out of, as far as the overflow of my life. I really mean this. I it's amazing how God will open conversations that really just lead back to him. It's amazing. You can be in Sears buying a tool, and God can sometimes take a conversation of a tool and lead it back to him. It's amazing how God can do that in the grocery stores. And you hear me say that. For years I've told you that. At work, you say, well, Pastor, you got to be careful around work. Well, here's what I've learned in my life. You have to use tact to make contact with people. You know, don't ever be belligerent. You know, when it comes to sharing Christ, don't be belligerent. Don't be rude. Don't be arrogant, like you know everything. You have to see people as they are. They're lost and they're needed. They're lost and they need Jesus Christ, their Savior, but you got to be aware of something. Often they don't realize they're lost, and often they don't even realize their need for Jesus. Did you hear me? So when we come at them and say, hey, you know, let me tell you about Christ, you should bathe that in prayer. If the statistic is accurate, in the high 90%, I think it's 97, of the research from George Barna or Dr. Rayner with Lifeway, if the research is correct, that 97% of people who get saved and join a local assembly do so through the relationship of a friend, a relative, associate, or a neighbor, if that is correct, then that ought to show us the importance of building relationships with people. We are in the people business. You know that, right? We're in the people business. You say, well, Pastor, my career is this and my career is that. Yes, you may have a career, but if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you are much more than that career, ladies and gentlemen. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ, God Almighty. You're His ambassador. And if you think about an ambassador for a moment, an ambassador represents the country to which they're from. They represent that country to other countries all over the world. Well, you say, Preacher, we're an ambassador. Well, we're from America. No, Paul said it. Paul knew about it, right? Paul said that our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens, yes, of America, right, of earth, but we're citizens of heaven too. We have, if you will, dual citizenship. You didn't know that, right? Dual citizenship. And Paul says, "Our this is who we are. This is where, you know where we're headed. We're headed back to be with Jesus one day if you're born again." So what do we do with it? What do we see in this text that will help us to be more of an effective soul winner? What do we see in this? We talked last week about anyone, anywhere, anytime. What great words those are. But tonight, what does it take? I'm going to give you three words. First of all, write the word follow. Write down the word follow. What does it take to be a good soul winner? First and foremost, you've got to follow Jesus. If you know, listen, friend, you've got to understand that in order to really truly be an effective soul winner, somebody that God often will use to reach other people, we've got to understand this and the value and the importance of being a follower of Christ. He said, Preacher, I know Jesus as my Savior, therefore it makes me a follower of Christ. Listen, if you know Jesus as your Savior, yes, indeed, it makes you a born-again child of God. But let's bring it down a little, closer. Can we sit here tonight and we honestly answer this statement? Can we sit here and answer and say, can we say this? Can we identify and say this? I know Jesus as my Savior, yes, but can we answer this question? Are we truly following Christ? Are you truly following Christ? I tell you what, and I say this even in my own life, Whew, boy, that's sometimes, that can be convicting. Am I really following Jesus? I remember my pastor for years and years and years, he used to preach about being backslidden and what it means to be backslidden as a believer. What does it mean to be backslidden? Brother Morton used to always say this, and I've never forgotten it. I heard it as a teenager. He used to say this. He said, what it means to be backslidden is this. He said, you need to ask yourself a question, really. He said, has there ever been a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now? He said, if the answer to that question is yes, there was a time in your life you were closer to Jesus than you are right now. He said, you got to realize something. Somebody has moved, and it's not Jesus. Somebody has moved, but it's not Jesus. In order to really be an effective soul winner, you've got to be a follower of Christ. So the word follow. The Bible illustrates this in verses 35 through 37. Again, you have the context of John the Baptist and some of his students, if you will. Disciples are students of John. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. He's already said that in verse 29 of John chapter 1. He says it again. Right there is the Savior of the world, boys. Right there is the one that John says, that right there is the one that I'm not worthy to bend and unlatch his sandal. Right there is the one. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind each and every one of us in this room tonight, our goal and our aim ought to be to point people to him. To point people to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, John the Baptist saith, behold the Lamb of God. And then it makes a statement. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That ought to be our goal. It ought to be our goal. It ought to be our aim to introduce people to Christ. And therefore, by introducing them to Jesus, then they in turn follow Christ as well. I love Christian music. And one of the songs that's from years ago, it's by a group called Phillips, Craig, and Dean. They're a contemporary Christian group, but I love a lot of their songs, a lot of worshipful music. And one of the songs is they ask a question, and basically the premise is, will you love Jesus more when we go our separate ways? And he talks about at the beginning of that, they'll say, like, I feel quite sure, right? Here they are. They're songwriters, they're singers, and they've sung together for years, and they have this song, and they started out and said, I feel quite sure if I did my best, I could maybe impress you, right, to the congregation. With tender words or a harmony, a clever rhyme or two. But then they say, but if all I've done in the time we've shared is turned your eyes on me, then I failed at what I'm supposed to do. There's someone else I want you to see. And then the chorus goes, will you love Jesus more when we go our separate ways? When this moment is a memory, will you remember his face? Will you look back and realize we've sensed his word more then, right? We've sensed his love more than we did before. And then they say, I pray for nothing less than for you to love Jesus more. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray to God that that would be our thought. I pray to God that that would be our desire. So the first that it comes down to, follow. You have to follow. Jesus made a statement in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said, in a very similar context of a story, Jesus said to his disciples, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know, so many times people may have the attitude or the thought, well, preacher, I just don't have the gift of soul winning. Well, first of all, you got to understand something. It's not so much as a gift as it is a call of God on your life. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have everything that you need to be a soul winner. Amen? You have everything that you need to be an effective soul winner for Jesus Christ. Soul winning is primarily a matter of obedience. That's what it boils down to. Soul winning is primarily a matter of obedience. So follow, if you think of me just for a moment of the word follow, what does it mean to follow? To follow someone simply means to obey their commands and to emulate their example. When you follow someone, you go where they tell you to go. You do what they tell you to do, and you say what they tell you to say. You've got to learn to follow. Jesus tells Philip in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth in the Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. Are we following him? Or have we sadly allowed the hustle and bustle of the world in which we live to dictate our schedules, to kind of form our thought processes, and kind of form our attitude when it comes to the Lord Jesus? Friend, I hope more than anything is that we all understand the value of following Jesus. But then there's a second word. So you have the word follow. Secondly, you have the word fellowship. In order, if you want to be a really, truly effective soul winner, and we've talked about this now for a couple of weeks by giving you just different words I hope to encourage you to chew on, the second word is the word fellowship. We see in verse 38 and 39 of the text, and the Bible goes on and says in verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? So two of John's disciples or students, John says, hey, there he is. That's Jesus. That's the Messiah. That's the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. That's him. And two of his disciples, John's disciples, then begin to follow Jesus. And as they're following Jesus, Jesus turns and he says, hey, what are you looking for? And they said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? We want to see where you dwell. And they just keep following him. And they keep, as the story unfolds, you kind of get a sense here that they're now going to spend time with Christ. They're now going to, the Bible tells us there in verse 39, it uses the word abode there, where as far as in the context, where he dwelt, an abode where they dwelt with him. They remained with him there in verse 39 that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, not, God is my witness, not trying to take liberty with this text, but I hope you got to understand and put your mind around this, that if we really want to be somebody that is an effective soul winner for Christ, to make a difference for his name and glory and for his kingdom, yeah, we got to follow, but you also have to have some fellowship with him. You got to spend some time with him. You see in 1 John chapter 1, you remember what John said in 1 John chapter 1? Turn there if you will. The same writer of this text, go now to 1 John and we'll just look at some thoughts that we've seen before, but it really goes hand in hand with this context of the thought of fellowship. Fellowship is important. John writes in 1 John chapter 1, of course, the same writer who wrote the passage we just read in John chapter 1 also writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he writes the book of the Revelation. But here in 1st John chapter 1, verse 1, John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Notice this. John says, that which we've heard and seen declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. I often joke the word fellowship is a picture word. It carries kind of the image of a bunch of fellas in one big ship, right? You have something in common. There's a connection there. And John is wanting them to understand, listen, we're going to tell you all that we've seen. We're going to tell you what we've seen. We're going to tell you what we've heard. We're going to tell you how we've handled of the word of life. And the reason we're going to do that is so that you can have fellowship with us. There's something special about the fellowship of God's people. There's something very special about that. There's no meeting, there's no gathering like God's people coming together. There's no gathering like God's people assembling together. There's something very special, ladies and gentlemen, about that. One preacher said it, and I've preached the sermon before. He said, if you think about the fellowship that we have and the connection that we have, you know, we're all tied together because, we worship the same Lord, right? We have Christ as our Savior. Therefore, we worship Him. And we also, because we have Jesus as our personal Savior, and I know you know this, but let me remind you this for just a minute. Those watching the internet, if you're born again as well, let me remind you of something. Knowing Jesus Christ, knowing Christ as our personal Savior, having the same Savior, being born again, you are aware that you will spend eternity with each other. Right? That includes your mother-in-law, if she's saved. Right? No, we have a common bond. And the reason we have a common bond is because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all our sin. And because it's cleansed us from all of our sin, we've been forgiven. We've been sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. And because of that, we're going to heaven when we die. But the good news is this. If we're going to heaven when we die, we ought to live on this earth like we truly believe that we all were going to heaven when we die. We have fellowship. And you have to have fellowship with Jesus if you're going to be an effective soul winner. John continues on here in 1 John chapter 1. He said our fellowship with us, verse 3. And truly our 1 John 1:3. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. So John says, we're going to declare all this information to you so that you can have fellowship with us. But you got to get a hold of something. We're going to have fellowship with one another. But we have fellowship with one another based on the sole fact that we have fellowship with the Heavenly Father. You have to get a hold of that. The only reason we can fellowship with one another as believers in Jesus is because of the fellowship that we now have with the Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ the Lord. Wow, what a great God. He's a great God. He's a wonderful Father. He's a good, good Father, as Pat sings. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, verse 3. And with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I like that word. You can underline the word full. That your joy may be full. Not just, you know, have a little bit of joy. No. That your joy will be full. Go back to John and we'll finish up this portion of our scripture, of the scripture. So you have the word follow. You want to be a good soul winner? Follow Jesus. You say, preacher, that's kind of simple, isn't it? Well, it's simple in thought, but it carries a lot of weight when you process it. You got to learn to follow. You got to understand fellowship. Having, you know, things in common, fellowship with one another, but also fellowshipping at the feet of Jesus. You say, Bridget, you mean to tell me that you can have fellowship with Jesus? You better believe it. Where can you have fellowship? You can have fellowship with Christ in your car. You can talk to Him. You can. I hadn't been saved long, and it's called to preach shortly 6 months after or so. And man, my grandmother would go to bed. It would be quiet. TV would be off, and I would just set up at night. I think that's why I became a night owl, because early on in my Christian life, that was the only time that I could have that was quiet. My grandmother would get up a lot of times at 5 in the morning, so even the mornings weren't quiet. So I learned that discipline of just spending time with the Lord even at nighttime when everything else is quiet, the phone isn't ringing, televisions aren't on, you're not being interrupted. But you can have fellowship with Him. And here's what I love about my Savior. He will talk with you. He will talk to you through His Word. He'll speak to you through His Word. And as you commune with Him, and as you talk to Him in prayer, and as you read His Word, I promise you, knowing Jesus as your Savior, He absolutely will speak to you through His Word. So many times people say, well, preacher, I've read the Bible, and I don't get anything out of it. Well, let me challenge you to do something. Let me challenge you to do something a little different going forward. If you truly know Christ your Savior, don't quit reading the Bible until you do get something out of it. When you start reading it, don't quit reading it until God truly speaks to you through it. Just a little thought. Fellowship. But notice the last thing. So you have the word follow, you have the word fellowship, and thirdly, you have the word fervor. F-E-R-V-O-R, fervor. The word fervor is a good word because it carries with it an intense, kind of a passionate, kind of an excitement kind of spirit. And the Bible illustrates this perfectly in the story as we continue unfolding this text, starting in verse 40. And one of the two heard John speak, John chapter 1, verse 40, and followed him. And was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41 says, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now, when you first read that, I think there's a tendency to just kind of read it. Oh, okay. Okay, so you got, let's look at this again. Verse 39, 40. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, but then you transition to verse 41, and if you're not careful, you'll read it with the same kind of lack of passion as perhaps we've read the rest of the verses. Verse 41 says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. I do not think it happened like that. I don't think it happened like that. I believe you have Andrew here. He's following John. He's learning of John. He's being discipled of John. All of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene, and John says, hey, boys, he's the one I've been telling you about. That's the Savior. That's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's him. So Andrew begins to start now following Jesus. And then, so he now then, this is so good. He then, in verse 41. So he's now following Christ, and he first, verse 41, findeth his own brother Simon. So Andrew starts following Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Andrew, I really truly believe, he's so excited about it. He's so passionate about it. He's as we'd say down home, he's tickled to death with what now he's witnessed. And the Bible says he first findeth his brother. And can you see him? Can you see him going to his brother and looking at his brother and saying this statement, hey, you're not going to believe it. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. You say, preacher, why do you think he got so passionate about that? Because you got to know a little bit of history about the Jewish people. This has been several thousand years of history longing, looking for the Messiah. And they found him now. You see, if you want to be a good soul winner, have some fervor about you. Have some passion about you. When you tell people about Jesus, do it with a smile on your face. You invite people to church, please do it with a smile on your face. I mean, let me illustrate. You see somebody you're working with, or you see somebody at the grocery line, or you see somebody, maybe a friend of yours that you've been wanting to tell about Jesus, you've been wanting to invite to church. I'm going to illustrate in two different ways. So you see somebody and you're thinking, man, I want to invite them to my church. I want to tell them about Jesus. So you see them and all of a sudden you look at them and say, hey, I doubt if you even want to come, man, but we're having a special service at our church, and a preacher talks about Jesus. He's long-winded all the time, so you got to let that go, but we'd love to have you come to our church. If I was your friend, I wouldn't come with you. Because if that's all the excitement that you're going to have, why in the world would I want to come to that? But perhaps we got Friend and Family Day coming up in September. You remember the date on that name? 10th, September 10th. Friend and Family Day, September 10th. We got Joseph Habedank coming that day. So at least if the preaching terrible, we'll have some good music. But why not do it like this? Say, hey, man, you're not going to believe it. We got a Friend and Family Day coming up at our church. And man, I would love for you to come and come to our friend. Man, I'd love for you. Matter of fact, if you would like, I'll take you out to breakfast that morning. I'll pick you up. Most of the time, if it's a guy involved, he'll go for a free breakfast. See the difference? Are you passionate about Jesus? Do you have fervor about Jesus? So in the context of this story, in the context of this narrative we're unfolding for you in John 1, I think Andrew had a little bit more of a fervor, like in the latter story, than say at the beginning of the first one. I think old Andrew comes to Simon, he says, "Hey, man, you're not going to believe this." "What? Man, you're crazy, man." "No. We found, get this, the Messiah." Wow. Automatically, as a Jew, your ears would have perked up. Automatically, you could have heard. I think you could have heard a pin drop. "You found who, Andrew?" "The Messiah, the Christ. Come and see." Look at the text. "And he brought him," verse 42, "and he brought him to Jesus." What, you know, you've heard me preach this on message called Operation Andrew. Andrew was fired up. He didn't have all the answers, but he had one answer. He saw Christ. "We found Jesus. I want to bring my brother to Christ." So he brings his brother and he says, "There he is. It's the Christ. It's the Messiah." And Jesus, of course, changes Peter's name there. The story that continues on, and we know if you were to fast forward in the story, these same men who started out maybe perhaps a little in shock or started out a little bewildered by whether or not it was him or not, these are some of the same men that would die unashamedly as a passionate follower of this Savior. They would give their life for the cause of Christ. Many of these men would do that. You say, "Preacher, what's the significance of it all?" I want to be that kind of follower too, don't you? I'm not saying that arrogantly. I do. I want to be that passionate. I want to have fervor. I don't want to be just, "Oh, we're having church service again." No. God forbid. God forbid we ever get to the point where it's like, "Just another church service." No, friend. It's another opportunity for God to show up and perhaps change somebody's life. You say, "Preacher, I'll be honest, I get tired." We all do. We all do. We all get tired. But friend, I pray we never ever get over what Jesus did in our lives. We found the Messiah. Philip, we found the Messiah. Then all of a sudden, Nathanael's introduced. They say to Nathanael, "Hey, we found the Messiah." And Nathanael, Mr. Skeptic, "Oh, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and says, "Hey, I saw you back here," and the thing is like, "Whoa, wait a minute." No. There he stands. We're going to make a difference in this city for Jesus. We have to follow him. We have to have fellowship with him. And we have to have fervor. We have to have passion. We have to be passionate about it. And you say, "Yeah, but preacher, you got to be careful because, I mean, this is a church and da, da, da." And I'm just, and I hear people do this sometimes. "I'm just not a passionate person." Liar, liar, pants on fire. Some of you say you're not passionate people. You watch the Lions or the Tigers or the Wolverines or the Spartans. You do not watch it with the same complacency like sometimes we do in Christianity, do we? We get excited about it. Woo! We get excited about it. Why is that? Here's why. Here's why I think it is. Because we want everybody to know whose side we're on. Right? We want everybody to know who side we're on. My friend Steve Brudnick, he lives down in Missouri, and he went to, he and a missionary, Brother Dedman, who we support, he and his family, church planting missionary, they went to see the Tigers play at a Kansas City Royals game. So Brother Dedman's from Missouri, so he went, no doubt, as a Royals fan, boo. And Brother Steve Brudnick went as a Tiger fan, and Steve had his, he had his get up, you know, he had his Tiger memorabilia and all that. He said, "Preacher, why are you telling us about that?" Because he wanted everybody to know whose side he was on. You know, sometimes in Christianity, what do? And I say even to myself, sometimes in Christianity, we don't want people to know, do we? I just want to fit in, man. I just want to get in and out of the store, you know. Well, here's what we got to understand. God saved you to be salt and light. He saved you to be a hill set on, remember we teach the kids this song, hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I won't let Satan put it out. No, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus has called us to be a light in a dark place. When Jesus was on this earth, he said of himself, "I'm the light of the world." Before he went back, he said to his followers, "You're the light of the world." So point being, where are we at tonight? We use the summer months to be really push it, soul winning, inviting people, and telling people the gospel. We push it all year, but we kind of streamline our focus for the better months as far as the weather-wise. VBS is coming up. Man. Friend and Family Day is coming up. I was thinking this today. Friend and Family Day coming up. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had over 300 people here? We could do that. That's doable. Just invite people. Tell people, invite them, get excited about it. Saturate them in prayer, right? Saturate them in prayer. Pray that God will save souls. Pray that God will move amongst our midst. Man, life's too short, friend, to not have fervor. Life's too short not to follow. Life's too short not to fellowship with him. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. We're saying the verse of invitational hymn. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, we do encourage you to respond. Maybe you're here and you'd like to come forward and just pray at the altar. We'll give you an opportunity to do that as well. Maybe just say, "Preach, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'll be honest, I'm just kind of going through the motions and don't really have the fire I once had." Well, here's what I love about the Lord. He can give you that back. And that could be illustrated perfectly in the life of Peter. There was a time in Peter's life, man, he denied the Lord. He cursed, even saying that he didn't know Jesus. But what happened? The rooster crowed. He wept bitterly. God restored him. Of course, he repented. God restored him. He went on to preach the powerful message on the day of Pentecost, where over 3,000 people got saved. God used him. He restored him, he used him, and he died passionately serving Jesus. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, you need to respond, you come as we sing. What's your number, Brother Randy?
Age number 440.
440.